G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
A biblical perspective on life, culture and current events. This is 2020 on Vision.
As I say, a lot of things have been happening over these past couple of weeks, especially in the state of New South Wales. Legislation passing through the Parliament that you can simply describe as contrary to Christian values and weaponizing laws that can be used against Christians. We're all concerned about those sorts of issues that stifle and obstruct the way the gospel is able to be shared freely in Australia. Well, let's get an update on this week's political agenda with the Australian Christian Lobby. And Joshua Rowe is the ACL State Director for New South Wales and the ACT. Hey, Joshua, welcome back to 2020.
Thanks, Neil. It's great to hear that you're going to have Professor Patrick Parkinson on. He'll add some great nuance to how people think about those issues.
And he will. And just to, in some sense, preview the seriousness and all of the dimensions that go along with all of these legislative changes, Joshua, these are much deeper than most people appreciate. And I guess that's demonstrated in what happened in New South Wales around the conversion practices ban bill that went through the New South Wales Parliament just over a week ago. That's just a demonstration, isn't it, of what happens when these laws go through the parliaments?
Well, they go through so quickly, and this piece of legislation was introduced on the 13th of March and then assented through the upper house by the 21st. These are very complex pieces of legislation and often quite controversial in nature, as we've highlighted, yet they get pushed through in a matter of 8 days. And that's what's so frustrating. I mean, that's why ACL's around, to be able to share and really unpack for people the depth of these bills and show just how much of an implications they can have on the Christian community.
And so when these bills are passing through our parliaments, as you say, quickly, and that one just 8 days, with major ramifications for families everywhere, 8 days, and then because they want to push things through, because they know it's controversial. I think that final debate went from 11 p.m. till 6 a.m. in the morning. You can imagine everybody in the parliament just trying to keep awake, listening to the challenges to some of that legislation. But the fact that these things are going through so quickly, that's concerning, isn't it?
It's very, very concerning, and we've consistently seen this from Labor when they don't want public scrutiny on pieces of legislation because they know they have deep and far-reaching implications on people of faith as well as families and clinicians. They will push it through without scrutiny. And we saw this with the conversion practices ban bill. Just after it was introduced to Parliament, it was also sent by what's called the Selection of Bills Committee. That's a committee that meets in the upper house on a Tuesday to look at various pieces of pieces of legislation. It was sent by that committee to an inquiry, which would have seen 2 months of public consultation on this legislation and would have enabled people of faith to be able to speak to the bill and the kind of ramifications it will have on the freedom of religion and freedom of speech. It would have enabled detransitioners and medical professionals to speak on the concerns around gender-affirming care. It would have consulted a number of groups who weren't brought into the consultation for this legislation. But instead, the Labor government and the Greens turned around in the upper house and made a motion to rescind that inquiry once that recommendation was made, and that vote was upheld. So unfortunately, instead of going to the appropriate public scrutiny, this bill was just rammed on through by the 21st, only 8 days later, as we said.
Are we reading something deeper into this, or is it the fact that these governments that are in power, and when they're dealing with these issues, they do not want people of faith to have a voice? Is this why these things are being rushed through? Is that too big a reach to say that that looks like what's happening?
Well, Neil, it was a pre-election promise to pass conversion practices legislation from the Labor government. And so they knew they had to do that to keep the LGBTQ plus group on side. But they wanted to do it with as little brand damage as possible, Neil. And so by keeping it out of the public eye, you get less scrutiny, you get less media, you get less people raising their voices like Christians and saying, hey, we're not okay with this legislation and the kind of impact it's going to have on our freedom of religion. And so there's less brand damage for ALP. And that's what they're aiming at doing here. And that's why they ram it through. They're keeping people out of the loop. And it's very disappointing and undemocratic.
Some listeners might have caught you appearing on the ABC or on The Project. Did you get a good hearing when you were being interviewed?
Unfortunately, although I was interviewed for about 10 to 15 minutes for both of those interviews, that translated to about 10 seconds. And so the time that I took carefully to walk through the kind of implications that this bill would have on pastors and their ability to share a biblical view on marriage and a biblical view on sex were not represented. It was usually just 10 seconds of me saying that this bill has implications on freedom of religion, and so the community should be concerned. However, I will note that they usually gave about 4 to 5 minutes to a story of someone who was living in a homosexual relationship and had felt vilified or attacked by the church. And it was very emotionally manipulative in that way. And I was disappointed to see them giving such a skewed representation and not giving a counterbalance through representing more of the ACL's voice or other pastors' voices, in fact.
Interesting to talk about what a lobbyist does for a moment, because so many listeners have been so supportive of the Australian Christian Lobby, and there's lots of dimensions. It's not only appearing on programs like this today and just updating a Christian community as to what's actually happening, but you're also working significantly behind the scenes, and you've got those media appearances, and as you say, you know, you're giving a soundbite from you and then 4 or 5 minutes from those who are on the other side. The way, though, that you can contribute, you're furnishing politicians with points that they can include in their own ways that they are helping to form their policy. This is an important part of what you do, isn't it?
Yeah, so let me unpack that. In the upper house, it was a very close vote on this piece of legislation with a number of the proposed amendments and with the inquiry as well. It was 21-20. And so my responsibility within that is actually going around and meeting with the politicians and representing a Christian voice and Christian concerns on the legislation. And I do that when these bills are in Parliament. And it's a hot debate. I'm going around knocking on doors, meeting with MPs and sharing with them about those concerns. One of the opportunities which you referred to, I was given was to write a speech for one of the members of Parliament. We were proposing an amendment to this bill in the upper house to remove gender identity out of the legislation. Now, the reason we were proposing that is because, as many listeners would know, there is a great deal of dispute around gender affirming care at the moment, and there's increasing evidence coming out to suggest that those interventions are dangerous and unevidenced. And so we believed we had a good case and a good argument to make that gender identity should be taken out of this legislation so that those forms of care or forms of therapeutic intervention were not protected. I was able to equip the Honourable John Ruddock, who is an upper house MP, with information and evidence to go in and propose that amendment and make a good speech about the validity of this amendment and the importance of taking that out of the legislation.
Well, the better you become known in the corridors of power in the New South Wales Parliament, the better those sorts of arguments will be when these legislation opportunities come along. So your contribution, so important. Hey, just for listeners who are thinking about this conversion therapy bill and what the implications might be for people in New South Wales, how do you describe, in a nutshell, just what difference these new laws will likely make?
Well, we made a call to people to lobby their MP and ask for protections for pastors, for parents, and for medical professionals before this legislation went through. And I actually want to give some encouragement to people that there have been carve-outs for pastors, for parents, and medical professionals within the legislation. So thank you for taking the time to contact your MP. However, the way that those have been drafted do not encompass all of what, for example, a pastor does. So there are protections for expressions of belief, for example, from the pulpit. A pastor might preach that homosexuality falls outside God's intention for right relationship. Now, that is protected. However, it's important to recognize that the premise of this legislation, the conversion practices legislation, is actually fundamentally set up against the gospel. Let me explain that. So when arguing for why we're banning these practices, this is what the government says. They say that conversion practices are based on a misconception that people who are living in same-sex relationships or who are confused about their sex are broken and in need of fixing. Now, we believe as Christians that we are actually all indeed broken and in need of repentance. And so pastors will preach, they will counsel, and they will teach accordingly to that truth. And that extends to sexuality. It doesn't matter whether it's an unfaithful husband or a promiscuous youth or someone living in a same-sex relationship, because we believe that falls outside God's intention for right relationship, we will actually confront the reality of that sin and brokenness. Now, if a pastor does that, Neil, consistently sitting down with someone over a sustained period of time, this legislation will actually call that or capture that as what's called a conversion practice. Now, if the courts deem that that causes significant mental harm, that pastor can go to prison for up to 5 years. And if they're caught under the civil scheme, it can be a $100,000 fine without any threshold of harm needing to be proved. So this is some significant litigation claims that are coming against pastors for simply proclaiming and sharing the gospel consistently with someone who is confused about their sex or living in same-sex relationships.
Okay, this looks like what's coming for our near future and challenging times when we talk about criminalizing Christians, criminalizing pastors who want to teach relationships according to a biblical model. That's in a nutshell. And you know what? Joshua, I know that listeners in New South Wales particularly, but listeners all around Australia, because all of these sorts of things are going through all of the parliaments in some form or another, this is just a warm-up act in some sense, isn't it, for what's coming with one which we might call the big one, the Equality Bill, which is really on the agenda for New South Wales. Give us a little insight here into what this Equality Bill will mean for New South Wales listeners.
Yes, well, this particular piece of legislation is quite draconian, and it amends 20 plus New South Wales laws. So it's what's called an omnibus bill. It proposes many changes across legislation, and all of those are seeking to entrench both gender ideology and sexual autonomy into legislation. The issue is that always comes at the cost of other fundamental rights, whether it be the right to religious freedom, parental rights, rights to for women to access women's only spaces, to uphold their dignity and protection. Consistently, this law actually subverts those rights to uphold sexual autonomy, to uphold the liberation of people to self-designate their sex. There's many instances within this legislation and issues that we're seeing come through, and we'd hate to see this bill be passed through Parliament like the conversion laws.
There's still lots more to talk about around that particular bill, but there are opportunities for listeners today, and mainly, I guess, for New South Wales listeners on this issue, to be able to participate in how they can make some sort of a difference. There's a survey that people can take. What's that survey all about?
Correct. So the bill at this point has been put to a parliamentary committee. Now, I was talking about those before. What they do is allow for public scrutiny and consultation, and we're glad to hear that this bill is going to a committee. Now, organisations like the Australian Christian Lobby get an opportunity to make big submissions, detailed submissions to that committee. However, it's not open to the public. So what the government have done instead, Neil, is offer an opportunity to make your voice heard at a public level by taking this survey. And the results of that survey will go directly to the government and will inform them on community sentiment. Now, I need people to go on and to take that survey and oppose every single provision and amendment that is suggested by this bill. Because as I said, you can trust me, each one of those amendments is not good for the health of the New South Wales community and for the fundamental rights of the average Australian.
So ordinary people can't make a submission. And I know there's been some challenges around that fact. Organisations like the Australian Christian Lobby can make a detailed submission. But ordinary people can take this survey and they can have their say according to that survey. And no doubt listeners will be wanting to go to the acl.org.au website to be able to take that bit of action. But you know what? Taking a survey, being involved in doing a petition or whatever it might be, these are just some of the ways that people can be effective in their communities. You've got some local campaign organisers. I know you're drawing together this army of people who can really begin to take some action in individual electorates or in individual states or federally, nationally, right around the country. What are you calling for so far as some support from listeners today to become local campaign organisers for some of these initiatives for the Australian Christian Lobby?
What's really important for listeners to understand, as we referred before to me doing lobbying at a MP to MP level, a very important thing is that we have electoral influence, because members of parliament, they won't listen unless we have people within their electorate who are also addressing and sharing their concerns about various bills so that they know it's important to their community. And so what is really important for the ACL is that we're building networks of individuals within local state electorates and within federal electorates who are voicing their concerns about various bills. Now, local campaign organisers, or LCOs as we call them, are individuals who volunteer to coordinate the activities that happen within their state electorate or federal electorate. Some of those responsibilities are, for example, the distribution of information to churches and volunteers, the coordinating of leaflet drops and phone call campaigns. But one of the most important and significant things that we do is actually get those volunteer coordinators to meet with their local MP and take delegations of Christian leaders, pastors, principals, parents along to the MP's office to voice their concerns about pieces of legislation. I've done that a number of times and it has been significantly impactful, Neil.
Wow. I mean, I'm inspired. The thought that you hope that Christian leaders in communities might be having some contribution to these debates by addressing their federal MP or their state MP. But what you're saying is if you've got a local campaign organiser, they can help to organise a delegation of Christian leaders to be able to speak to the local representatives in their community. So it really brings things down to a grassroots level. Amazing stuff. And you're available to be a guest speaker if there are listeners, you're based in Canberra, in Sydney, getting you to come and address a local church. You're available to do that?
That's right. Recently, I've spoken at Life Centre Church just this weekend gone, and the weekend before I was at Sassoon Church for their Easter service. And in each of those instances, I come to share and inform the church about what's happening politically, also to couch that in the gospel and the goodness that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, that he died on the cross for us, and that he called us to kingdom mission, and that that mission doesn't only extend to evangelism, but it extends to the political mission field as well, and getting out there as Christians. You know, Neil, if we truly believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that there's no way to the Father but through him, and that his word is profitable for teaching and training in righteousness, then we ought to represent that goodness to our community and society. We've been given an opportunity in a democracy to do that. I mean, why wouldn't we? And so I go along to the church and I equip them to do that well. We have on ACL, if you go to www.acl.org.au/request-a-speaker, you can request any one of us to come along and to contribute in that way to your church community. It would be a great honour. We always love doing it.
And there are ACL state directors in all the states and territories around Australia. So, yes, request a speaker. And for those in New South Wales, get to know Joshua Rowe. I would say, Joshua, you're on an ascendancy here. Some very important work for you to do in the years to come. And for listeners, get to know Joshua Rowe. He's the ACL State Director for New South Wales and the ACT. Joshua, you gave the website at acl.org.au. There's some really good things that listeners can do if they respond, and they'll be able to find those opportunities on the website, acl.org.au. Joshua, thanks so much for another great update today on 2020.
It's always a pleasure, Neil.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.